also a continuing member, Brother Harold Dolph. He's not doing well. He was actually hospitalized this past week. And Brother Harold has an appointment tomorrow. And they possibly are going to, not tomorrow on that day, but he does have to go tomorrow. But here shortly, here soon, they possibly are going to insert a screen into one of his arteries to his heart so that no blood clots will pass through to his heart. So let's remember Brother Harold in our prayers. Let's also continue remember Brother John Ashworth. Again, as we mentioned this morning, that he does not have to have a rib removed, but he does have a heart condition, they said. Brother Jim Daly has told me heart condition, also a torn ligament in his hand. So let's remember John Ashworth, Jim Daly. But let's also remember everyone on our prayer list. There's so many here, but let's do remember each and every person, every life. Let's remember those who were battling cancer. That's in our church membership. That we're praying for you. We love you. Also surrounding churches and those that we know who are battling cancer, Brother Johnny Ivey, Miss Kim from Pleasant Hill, Kim Merritt. Let's remember her as well. And those again in our family, church family, but also let's remember school tomorrow. For most, are starting back. Our child Lily, she's starting back on tomorrow, so we're going to remember her in prayer. And everybody else, let's remember parents and teachers. For we talked this morning about how different this year is going to be in school, uncharted waters. But nonetheless, the Lord promises He's going to be with us and strengthen us for us not to be afraid. He'll be with us whithersoever we go. So let's remember all of our schoolgoers. President, those under him in leadership, let's remember everybody, doctors, let's remember nurses, ambulance, let's remember all first responders, let's remember America and our world tonight. The situation we've been faced with since March, the pandemic, and everything, politics, protesting. America needs, this world needs God's touch, God's intervention. I want to say before we pray that there will not be ultimate healing nor peace until the Lord, the Prince of Peace, shows up and gives that peace, or until the Lord heals our land. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name tonight, the name that's above every name. The name, Lord, by which every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, to the glory of God, if not on this side of heaven, but on the other side for sure. Lord, help us, Lord, in our days that we live to be faithful to you, Lord, to be mindful of you, hold ourselves accountable to you. Lord, we need you more, not less. Father, tonight we pray for Miss Betty Berry and her situation she's in, God, that you would touch her mightily, touch her mind, touch her body. Lord, I pray that you would things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. I once heard that the sport of bull riding is a very aggressive sport. And learning about bull riding, although I've never rode a bull and don't intend to ride a bull, I'm afraid of the fall. But I heard when it comes to bull riding that the most important part of bull riding is the grip. It's all about the grip of the bull rider. You see, whenever a person rides a bull, there is an attached saddle to that bull. And on the top of the saddle, there is a loop that's attached to the saddle for gripping. And so before the bull rider would go out to the arena, that bull rider would fasten its hand underneath that loop and on top of that saddle. There's also a rope attached to the whole saddle. If they grab that rope, they grab a hold of that loop as tight as they can. Of course, they have leather gloves before they even put their hand in that loop for extra grip. And so at one time, they fasten everything, all of their hand, into that loop. You can actually watch on videos as they work. To the point where you think that they're being a little dramatic. But you see, in bull riding, it's all about the grip. And it's all about the grip. It's all about that loop and working your hand in there until you're satisfied with the grip that you have, because bull riding is going to be a wild ride. You don't want to be thrown off. In like manner tonight, the Christian life is much that way. We are on a great adventure. Sometimes it gets wild on this adventure. And down through the ages of time, we can, from Bible days till now, and perhaps we know of people, Christians, that have lost their grip. They have perhaps loosened their grip or let go altogether of their grip, thinking that they could go on without the responsibility of gripping firmly, only to get thrown off and never get back on again. Tonight is all about the grip, church. It's all about gripping the Bible. It's all about gripping our hands together in prayer. It's all about making sure that our hand is fastened to God's hand, because no doubt we have been on a wild ride and we will continue this great adventure till Jesus comes. And so with that said, tonight, for a few moments, I want to preach on this subject: get a grip. Get a grip. Has anybody ever told you before, or have you told anybody, hey, it's time to just get a grip, or get a grip, sir, get a grip, ma'am? Many times we say that, or have been told that, when there's been the idea that we have been loose, or we've been slipping in our life. Someone will say, well, you just need to get a grip. Calm down. Maybe our emotions are high, and someone says that. Maybe we say that to someone when their emotions are running wild, or maybe someone has a bad attitude. We say, get a grip. Get a grip. Well, tonight, in a spiritual sense, all of us, including myself, as we're in the closing days of grace, and Jesus is coming, and there's all of these things that are in the process of Him coming, pandemic, politics, protesting, and even a possible tropical storm that's coming. All of these things working against us can cause us to lose our grip. So tonight we need to get a grip. I want to mention three things tonight says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Number one, when it comes to the subject of get a grip or getting a grip, we need to, number one, tighten our grip. And so the writer here is emphasizing an earnest heed to the things of God. He says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Now, the question is, what things is he talking about that we have heard? What did we hear? Well, it goes back to chapter number 1. Chapter number 1, verse 1, I want you to notice the Bible says concerning what we have heard, the things we need to keep a grip on. He says, God, who at sundry times, or various times, and in divers manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Verse 2, it says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And so what did we hear? What is he talking about? The things that we ought to give more earnest heed to, the things that we heard. What is he talking about? Well, in chapter 1, again, verse number 1, he's talking about the prophets in the Old Testament. They spoke God's word. Then in verse number 2, he's talking about Jesus in the New Testament, how he spoke the word of God. And so in verse number 2, he says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And so what did we hear? Well, in the Old Testament, by the prophets we heard the word of God. In the New Testament, by the Savior, we heard the word of God and other apostles. And so as we stand back and take a look at what we heard the gospel. We heard the gospel. And so tonight, when it comes to getting a grip, we need to tighten our grip concerning the gospel in which we heard. When it comes to the gospel in which we heard, it's the whole makeup of the gospel. He's talking about salvation. And he's talking about not only salvation, but he's talking about the Lord and his virgin birth, the gospel. He's talking about the Lord in his virtuous life. Talking about the Lord in his vicarious death. The Lord in his victorious resurrection, the Lord in his soon visible return. He's talking about the gospel. That is the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But not only that, but it goes a step further. In the gospel, there's reading our Bibles. There's praying. There's holding ourselves accountable before God. And keep in mind what we're saying here. We are saying here that we need to tighten our grip on these things. Do not allow these doctrines and truths to slip by us or dismiss them from our minds. Chapter 2, verse 1, he says, therefore. And he's talking about how the prophets of old spake the word of God in verse 1. Verse 2, talking about Jesus and the apostles speaking the word of God. And now we get to chapter 2, verse 1. Our verse, he says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. I want to say tonight, we have heard in the gospel how we need to meditate on God's word. It needs to be a part of our life. grip on holding ourselves accountable unto God. You know, Paul says in the Bible that he dies daily. And how that, I believe it's in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, around verse number 28, he talks about how that he buffets himself. That he's in a race, and that he has to buffet himself. He has to deny the sinful inclinations of the flesh, that he may run his race with patience. And so tonight we see in verse number 1 that we need to tighten our grip on the things that we've heard concerning the Lord and who he is, and all of those different doctrines of the Lord and his deity. You've once believed it, don't deny it now. He is who he says he is. He loves us. He's with us. He will walk with us through the fire. He will walk with us through the floods of this life. Everything else that's wrapped up in the gospel, those things we need to tighten our grip on. Number 2, not only we need to tighten our grip, it says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Church, we need to tighten our grip. But then number 2, I want to say that we're not exempt to slip. Tighten our grip. But the second truth in this verse is we're not exempt to slip. Notice what he says. He says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Did you know that none of us on planet Earth, more specifically, none of us who claim that we know Jesus, that are saved by the grace of God, none of us are exempt to slip. None of us. I want you to notice in this verse, the writer includes himself. He says, lest at any time we should let them slip. Notice the whole passage. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And so we're not exempt to slip. The apostle and whoever wrote the book of Hebrews, most believe it's Paul, but also included himself. He knows that he must tighten his grip on the things he's heard. He knows that he must be diligent in the Word of God, must be diligent in prayer, must be diligently going after God and his holiness. Not that he's perfect, but he wants to be, because that's his desire. The same for us. We must be diligent, tightening our grip in those areas, but also to know that we're not exempt to slip. The word slip here, the word slip means to carelessly pass. It also means, in essence, to be passive. To be passive to the things of God. And so the writer includes himself. He says, we should let them slip, lest at any time we should let them slip. But the very word slip means to carelessly pass. It means being passive to the things of God. My point is this. It all means at one time we had a firm grip. A person has had a firm grip, whoever they are. We have had a firm grip on the gospel and the things of God. And we used to observe those things. A person used to observe those things daily. But something happened in their life. Something happened, and they allowed their grip to carelessly pass. be this very pandemic we're going through. I mean, the fear of this pandemic, and no doubt I am not downplaying that, because I myself at times have waves of fear, that not so much that I'm going to die or nothing like that, but what's more, concern is the better word, but even concern sometimes can turn into fear. And there's these spells you go through where these waves of concern and fear about this pandemic. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we can allow this pandemic and how long it's going to be here and what the future holds. We're not careful, we can lose our grip and slip. We can fall into a state of depression. We can fall into a state of fear. In so much, we don't pick up our Bible anymore. In so much, we don't pray anymore. We're just a reclusive person that's crumbled with fear. But I want to say tonight that God does not intend for life to be that way. God wants us to take heart and take courage. He wants us to understand that He's with us, whithersoever we go. He wants us to use our minds, and He wants us to protect ourselves and protect others. But we should not be reclusive. We should not lose our grip on the things of God because of the pandemic. Also, a person can lose their grip and begin to slip because of the lack of in-person worship. Praise be to God, we still have one service a week in person. But I'm afraid what's taking place in a lot of lives, in a lot of homes, please hear me in the spirit that I'm about to say this. A lot of people in a lot of lives, because there's not that accountability of coming to church three times a week, they have lost their grip in their personal devotions. Well, it's easy to just watch it live on Facebook like you're doing. And that's great. You are being faithful to your church. But some people have even gotten in the mode, in the habit of just allowing it to just go on by and then go back and watch it again. And that's fine. But I'm afraid with even some, that's just an excuse. How many people actually go back and watch it again? Or watch it, period. Some do, some don't. And what I want to say, my point is this, and in the spirit that I'm saying this, it's to encourage you, it's to exhort you, to challenge you, to tighten your grip. Watch those services if you're worshiping from home. And don't say, I'll just watch it later and never do it. I like what Brother Don Rich said one time on live Facebook. And he said, look, we ought to come, even though it's coming through our television or through Facebook, through our television, through our phones, our computers watching Facebook Live, we ought to treat it as though we were at church. Have your Bible open. Be ready spiritually and mentally to the things that are about to be said from a Facebook Live service. But I'm afraid there are some, even if this pandemic was over tomorrow, has kind of glided into a stature of laziness. And they may not be back to church, even if it was all over tomorrow. Listen, I'm telling you tonight, in the right kind of spirit, that there needs to be a tightening of our grip. And we need to tighten our grip on the things of God. If Facebook Live is the only service that you have and you can't leave the house, treat it as though you were at church. Don't let the things of God slip. Your closeness from the Lord, don't let it slip. So a possibility can be the lack of in-person worship. Because it's only at home. At one time, maybe you watched it, but now it's less and less. And then I'll go back and watch it later, and now it's nothing at all. Another possibility a person can lose their grip and slip could be a success. Have you thought about that? I mean, there's some people at one point in time in their life, they were humble before lose their grip? Think about it. If there was a person who lived in success, now they're in poverty. That could be a stun to their life. And instead of embracing God and regaining their grip, they're in poverty. They lost their job, something like that. They were once high up on the ladder, or they just once paid their bills and they were able to feed their family, but now they're not. Sometimes that's enough to drive them away from God. And again, on the contrary, a person that was in poverty, that went to success, they couldn't handle the success and they lost their grip. Listen, there's so many tonight who cannot handle success, and it has caused them to lose their grip on God. And there's a lot who are in poverty tonight, and because of that, it's caused them to lose their grip on the Lord and the things of God. I like what the writer said in Proverbs chapter number 30, verse 8. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. The writer there in Proverbs, he says, Lord, I want my daily bread. Don't give me so much success that I may forget about you. And Lord, don't allow me to be so much in poverty. The verses go on to say that I may curse you. But Lord, feed me daily that which I need, Lord. I want to say tonight, there's been great men and women in this world, godly men and women that have allowed life to loosen their grip on the things of God. And it can happen to all of us. Listen to this. David was the closest. Samson was the strongest. Solomon was the wisest. And although David was the closest to God, and Samson was the strongest of God, and Solomon was the wisest of God, because their grip was loose, they were removed from their steadfastness. Might I add, all three men had a woman problem. It was David and Bathsheba. It was Samson and Delilah. And it was Solomon, all the women he had his heart set on. Listen tonight, if the closest have heard, listen, at any time, we should let them slip. Guessing that Paul's the writer here. He's including himself. Or the apostle is including himself, whoever that is. But I want you to hold your place here in terms of 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 for a moment. We need to continue the trip after we tighten our grip. No doubt the apostle Paul, after he came to the end of his road, and he says, I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. No doubt there were times where the saddle must have been a little loose, or at least his grip. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, notice in verse number 8. Paul speaking, he says, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despair even of life. The great apostle Paul, whose life that God changed, got to a place in his life where his grip got a little loose. He was losing grip on reality. He was losing his grip in the fight. He said that he came to Asia and they were pressed out of measure, above strength. Paul says that we've been despaired of life. I wanted to die, is what Paul was saying. Is that you tonight? Are you despairing of life? Maybe it's because of the grip you have in life. Maybe you just need to tighten your grip on God. But he says that we despair even of life. Verse 9 says, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves. In other words, Paul concluded that we're going to die. We had the sentence of death in ourselves. Our answer toward this situation was death. We're going to die. But notice the next word here. He says that. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doeth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. What happened here? Paul got to a place in his life where his grip of reality, his grip he had on the things of God were getting shaken. He despaired even of life. He was losing his grip on life. But then in verse number 9, something happened. I believe verse number 9 is telling us that there was a, number one, there was a feeling of the end game. Paul felt like that he was going to die. But then there was a transition and he learned something. He learned that he should not trust in himself, but in God, which raiseth the dead. He says, but we had the sentence of death. He says, we were despairing of life, losing our grip. We had the sentence of death in ourselves. That, he says, we learned something in that experience, that we should not trust in ourselves. You know what you'll find out in your trial of life? What you'll find out in the situations of life? When your grip begins to get loose, that you cannot trust in yourself. But you've got to trust in God, which raiseth the dead. Verse number 10, he gives praise, who delivered us from so great a death, and doeth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. His grip was tightened. Paul's was. And it was in the middle, at least here we see in the middle of one of his voyages to Asia, missionary journeys. He went from despair to delight. But notice this,
verse number 7 of 2 Corinthians 12, the Bible says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." Here we have Paul, and he's speaking in the third person about this heaven experience. And then Paul says that, he says there was a time after that, some believe it was in Lystra, when he was drug outside the city and he was stoned and left for dead. Some say that was his experience of the third heaven, the abode of God, when he was called up there and seen things that were not lawful for him to speak about. But nonetheless, Satan was given permission to buffet Paul. That word buffet means to beat. It means to blacken the eye. It means to beat and pound. So we have a picture here of Paul being pounded by the devil to the permission of God. And it was to keep him humble from this third heaven experience. Sometimes in life, the devil beats on us. Sometimes in life, our trials, they beat and they bang. These things happen and we're not careful, can begin to lose our grip because we're focused on our situation. We're focused on the hit we're taking. Paul began to pray in verse number 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." He said, "Oh God, I'm losing my grip here. Please allow this thing to depart." On a second occasion, "Oh God, I'm losing my grip here. I'm being pounded day in and day out by this thorn that I have in my flesh. I pray that it might depart." And at least the third time, Paul prayed the same way. "Let it depart. Let it depart." He was losing his grip. There may be some listening tonight that's losing their grip on life, reality, in their walk with God, all based upon the experience and situation that you have and you're going through. And you're asking God for your situation to change. You're asking God for those thorns in life to depart. But you see, Paul tightened his grip after the Lord spoke to him. Look in verse number 9. "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most likely, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake." Notice this, "For when I am weak, then am I strong." Paul's grip was tightened because he learned that he was following the Lord in his leadership, and struggle came, and trial came, and persecution came. This thorn was present, whatever it may have been, and it was pressing into him. It was beating on him day in and day out. He wanted it to be removed. He was losing his grip, but then the Lord spoke to him and said, "Paul, I'm not going to remove your thorn, because it's with this pain that you recognize it's me you need more, not less of the problem you need. Glory be the day that I realized, and realizing more in my Christian life, that things don't always change when I want them to. Persecutions and trials. Sometimes those trials, they come when the Lord allows them to, and they stay a while. To God be the glory. I'm learning some things. I have not got there yet, but I'm slowly learning that it's the presence of Jesus we need. It's His grace we circumstances don't always change when we want them to, there'll be a day of awakening in your life when you realize it's the presence of Jesus, not the absence of trials. I don't invite trials even into my life. I don't want trials. I don't want testings. I don't want persecutions. I don't want none of those things. I don't want thorns. You don't either. But if we're not careful, if we don't focus on Him, and He be the object of our sight, our centerpiece in life, if we're not careful, we can lose our grip and begin to slip and doubt how much God even loves us. But you see, Paul, he recognized God's power in his life, and God's power in his life was when Paul was the weakest. If Paul was strong all the time, he wouldn't ever rely upon the Lord, would he? We're strong all the time. We won't rely upon the Lord. We don't invite these things into our life, but yet there's to be an awakening in those things that God is our sufficiency. Well, we see that we need to continue the trip. Continue the trip. You know, when Paul was doing what God called him to do, he had some that was for him, some that was against him, some left, some forsook him, some stayed by his side. Demas was a co-laborer with Paul. But you see, Demas lost his grip as well. Having loved his present world, he left. He aborted the missionary journey. Demas lost his grip. Friend, don't lose your grip tonight. I know we're going through uncharted waters, but tighten your grip. I need to tighten my grip every day. Don't lose your grip and think that why even try? We're not having church in person anymore or as much. I can just catch Facebook after it's recorded of the live services. I get back to it. Listen, that's a slow drifting. You're allowing it to slip. But rather than that, if you feel good enough to come to our Lord's service, you come. But if you're a person that needs to stay home, stay home, but catch that Facebook Live in real time. We have to have these disciplines.